It's a question, but it tells us quite a lot about angels, which is a good thing because we really don't know that much about them. For beings who are so important to us, our knowledge of them is really fairly limited. Let's take a look at that question. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the first chapter? Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Do you know when an angel is ministering to you? Do you perceive it when it's happening? It would be nice to know, wouldn't it? God willing, the Lord's blessing of a gift of discernment. After today, it might be a bit easier for you to pick out. The Lord has certainly expended a vast amount of resources and effort to try to save us. A great part of that effort has been enlisting this core of magnificent beings who are created with a vast array of powers that far exceeded the powers that man was created with, to come to this earth and to shepherd us through our difficult lives. And they are perfectly suited to this task. One of the things that is known about them, although even this is, the knowledge here is still rather thin, is that sometime in ages past, millennia past, these angels themselves went through what we are going through now. They had to make an all-important decision. And like us, they are created beings. They're only blessed with immortality as a gift from God. In themselves, they are not immortal. As it says in 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16, God, the blessed, the only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal. He preserves them through all ages. They don't possess it of themselves. But as citizens of God's kingdom, they possess a free will, the same way we do. And they were called on, like us, to make a choice between right and wrong, between loyalty to God and loyalty to Lucifer. At a time when they did not know all the facts, they did not understand all the repercussions, and they had to make their decision based on the knowledge that they had and by faith. Each one had to decide, will I trust God and His word or not? Just like us. The Bible tells us that many of them, one-third of the angels, sided with the distorted reasonings of Lucifer, and they set out on a path that has taken them to the darkest evil. Initially, that path probably looked like it was just running parallel to God's ways. It was just off by a few degrees. But as time has taken its toll, it has led them now to a place of just complete horror. By rebelling against God and by refusing to submit to His guidance, they lost their place in heaven. And the angels who remained faithful then earned a new title. And their title was elect angels. They remained faithful, but they did lose something. They lost their friends. Their universe changed. And the ones who remained faithful really are very special. As created beings who marveled at the creation of our world, therefore, and this is kind of on the sideline, it's impossible for them to be dead Christians who have taken on a new job title because they were created before us. They're unique individuals. They have their own names and personalities and responsibilities. They have ranks and they are organized by their orders. They had to physically remove the rebellious angels from God's kingdom, and they are in sharp conflict with them to this very moment on this planet. They are so involved in our affairs and in this conflict that the scriptures portray this earth as their base. We think of heaven as their home, But they've been on active duty for a long time, and this earth is portrayed as their place. Let's look at that together. It's back at the beginning, Genesis 28. Genesis 28, look at, start with verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. It is no accident that the scriptures say that the angels ascended and descended, not descended and ascended. They are so much here that this is their main posting, and that they only occasionally ascend and then return with comfort and strength for the men and the women and children that they are assigned to watch over. They are always here in force, and we rarely perceive it. Don't have time to recount all of the angel stories in the Bible, but I thought that looking into the intercessions of the angels for the Christian community after the resurrection of Christ and after his ascension, that that would be a way for us to get a glimpse of what their work, what their ministry is for us in the Christian era, in our generations. And I picked out six assignments that I noticed that they are fulfilling for the church that's displayed there in the book of Acts. I'm sure there are lots more. It's just these six jumped right out to me. So today, let's focus on the angelic acts in the book of Acts. The first appearance of the angels that we see in the book of Acts happens in the very first chapter. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. After he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They, talking about the apostles, were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The first assignment here that I see the angels have is to motivate the ministry. What are you doing? Standing around, looking up into the sky. We've got work to do. You can tell that's what they're saying, because in verse 12, the very next thing it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. The angels said this, and they didn't linger. They took off and went back to work. The angels have been involved in this endeavor, this effort to save humanity for a very long time. And every few years, a new generation of ministers come along to fill the place in the pulpits of veteran pastors. And they need an experienced hand to guide them. The angels are again well suited to this. They are not divine. They are not omniscient, meaning they don't know all things. They do not know the end from the beginning, but they have been paying very close attention. So they know some stuff. They're careful scholars of God's word, and they pay very close attention to what they see and to what they hear. Peter, who had quite a lot of experience with angels himself, writes of them in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Knowing what they know, the angels are a minister's greatest ally as he tends his flock. They help to bring light to their minds. Angels and ministers' titles in the New Testament are often interchanged. A second assignment given to the angels is to remove obstacles. Back again in the book of Acts, chapter 5. Verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors to the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Christ will not allow the gospel to be silenced by the enemy of souls. No prison, no gag, no shackles, no seal on a tomb will prevent an angel of the Lord from opening the way for the gospel to be preached. A third assignment that they have here is to deliver special assignments to humanity. Acts chapter 8, just verse 26. Where it says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Philip asked, why? Is that what it says? I'll try that again then. Where was that? 26. Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Well, that's not very much information. I don't think so. I'll pass. Is that what it says? Do you think it's wise to disobey an angel's command? Christ speaks through that being. He is the Lord's representative here. He speaks with his authority. Philip knows this. And so that's why even on just that scant information which says, go south. Get on that south road that goes to Gaza. He doesn't question. He doesn't linger. It just says right away in the next verse. So he started out on his way. He took off. Not knowing what he was supposed to do, who he was supposed to see. He just goes. Pouting, dragging our feet. They're just not the same thing as cooperating and obeying. Fourth assignment. This one comes in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, there at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. And again, just like Philip, Cornelius just does that, sends for the guy. The fourth assignment here of the angels to the church are to lead the unconverted to inquire about salvation. I've mentioned a lot of times past and years ago about an uncle of mine who was converted in adulthood and then became a minister, became an evangelist. His name was O'Brien, G.D. O'Brien. In his life, though, he was married. Before he went on that path, he was married and he smoked like a chimney and he drank like a fish and pretty rough tumble fellow, big guy, the biggest guy in his family. Tall, strong, rough. And his mother had worked on him for a long time to no avail. His wife worked on him for a long time to no avail, just trying to drag that guy to church. Finally, somehow, some way, an angel of the Lord got him motivated, and he went to church with those two women. And I'll never forget the line that he used. He said, he goes, "I sat there with all those good people, and I wanted to sit as far back as possible, but they made me sit up towards the middle. And all these nice people, they're dressed nice, they look nice, they spoke nice, and all I wanted to do was run out and go smoke a cigarette. And as I sat there, I had this horrible feeling." And he said, "I felt like a lion in a den of Daniels." Just someone on the outside. But you know, he listened, and the Lord led. That angel had kept working, and the Holy Spirit was working, and he gave his heart to God, and there you know the rest. If today is your very first day in church here with us, that angel is your angel, has got you here, has led you here, well then, we want you to know that you are welcome. You have a home here. The angel that led you serves the Lord who loves you. And the Lord will bless you as you seek him. A fifth assignment of the angels here in the book of Acts is to give us vision beyond our own capabilities. We see this towards the very end of the book in Acts chapter 27. Paul has been put under arrest here. He's to be taken to the city of Rome from Jerusalem, and they're sailing to Rome, and they've made it to Crete here. Acts 27, look at verse 9. He's talking about the journey. He said, "Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also.' But the centurion instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship." So they go sailing off, but then they sail off into a great storm. Look down at verse 14. "Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island." So it was very rough going for them for a while there. Verse 20. It says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." Who's writing this? Who is it? It's Luke. Luke, the physician, part of Paul's entourage, is sailing, traveling with them. So Luke says, "I gave up. Because I'm going to die. We gave up all hope of being saved." Verse 21. "After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice.'" I love that. "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" We are only human. So the Lord oftentimes helps us see what's coming beyond our vision to keep us encouraged and to help us to be able to encourage other people. An angel often brings light to show us what lies just over that horizon. Have you ever noticed that in yourself, in your own experience? You pick something out before it comes, before other people see it. You know what's coming. And it does. Number 6. This is my last assignment here for the angels in the book of Acts that I notice. It comes from this same passage here from Acts chapter 27. It was there in verse 23 where Paul said, "Last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me." Sometimes an angel's only service that they can render to us is to come and to stand beside us. That's number six. To just come and stand beside us in a moment of peril, in a moment of great need. Just very recently, I was called and heard about a great tragedy that happened to someone who's close to us. And I had no idea what to say to that person. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be with the person who had gone through this. And so I went there and just sat for a little while. And I know I said something, but I don't know what I was saying. But to be by them while they're going through it, so they know that they're not alone in it, I think is a valuable thing, because it's been valuable to me when people have come to stand by me. The angels, they're just no different. They want to be by us. The angel that was assigned to watch over and to guide you has been at it since you were just first born. He knows you completely. He's put a lot of effort into saving you. And when you weep, what do you think he does? There's a scene in heaven that's described in Revelation 5, which David read for us, our scripture reading this morning. In it, the angels of God, they all sing praise to Christ. All the angels are pictured there singing. And in that praise, they say a very curious thing. You could look at it with me if you'd like. It's in Revelation 5, verse 11. Revelation 5:11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Seven things that they say that the Lamb is worthy to receive. Things that they bring as an offering. They give Him all of these things. The first one, power. They're pledging all their power in His service. And wealth. What does it say there in King James? Riches? Of course, wisdom, they offer that. All their strength, all their honor, all their glory, all their praise. But that thing about the wealth and the riches. What is that? You know, you reach in your... Are they offering cash? Is that what that's about? You think heaven operates as on a cash economy? He's worthy of wealth and riches. What is that? Let me show you. Remember that the angels, they think the way Christ does. They value what Christ values. In Isaiah, 43rd chapter, the Lord tells us what He values. Isaiah 43, verse 4. The Lord here speaking says, "Since you," speaking to His people, "since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life." The angels here are saying that Christ is worthy to receive their treasure, which is us. Our guardian angel, who has watched and led and carried us, holds us up to the Lord, holds us up to the Lamb and says, "Here is my treasure and I bring it to you." That's how you are loved. On the way home after church today, my granddaughter, if she rides in Grandma's car, I am assured, will sing all the way home a song that she sings every week. She does that. Learned it. That's the first one she's learned. All night and all day. She just starts singing all day. Is she laying down or is she there? No, Ella? Come here, honey. Will you come help Grandpa? Come here. She's going to be... You want to come and help Grandpa? Yeah, okay. Come here. Come help Grandpa sing. Can you sing? Maybe not. Let's sing all day, okay? Maybe everyone can help with that, if you know that. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we would be the most ungrateful lot if we didn't recognize how much you've done for us and how much your angels have done on our behalf, and how all of you have cared for us and stood beside us in our times of need. So we just want to show an appreciation and a thanks. Lord, we ask that their presence and through them your presence would continue with us, that we wouldn't shame them in any way. That you would stay near us, Lord, to our very last breath, or to that very last moment till your Son comes to take us to your kingdom, and our angels take us by the hand and lead the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.